Praise the Lord, brothers. With that spirit, the brothers thought that it would be good to for us to begin sharing some of the. And thanks for highlighting me. I think my hair is not combed
That's
correctly.
okay, brother.
Praise the Lord. I just,
Amen.
as Will was sharing, I was also very stirred up by our reading and prayer. It reminds me of this verse in 2 Corinthians 4:1. It says, therefore, having this ministry, as we have been shown mercy, we do not lose heart. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 What a ministry we have.
Amen.
What a commission that we have.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, may the Lord fill us with the spirit of faith as we'll share for 2021 for the Lord to really have his move in California.
Amen.
That we will not be hindered by the past, we will not be hindered by our unbelief, but rather we will open ourselves to be fully one with the Lord.
Amen.
And
Amen. Amen.
a couple of weeks ago, a number of brothers got together. As you know, many churches back in January have done some various ways of church planning, probably depending on the localities. The way it was done, as well as the burdens, are different. But I think we all, I think we, as we go through it, we all believe that it's, really just the process of planning and coordinating, and the fellowship and the prayer together has really blessed, us in our going on. And we feel that we need to have a similar kind of planning at the NorCal level. And so a number of brothers have gotten together and pray, and also submitted some items of key burdens to consider. And so I'd like to share that summary with you. Let me see if I could share the screen. So mostly it would be more of a, hopefully it's a fellowship than a presentation. A number of brothers have been in these fellowship before, so I hope they will chime in, on many of these items. Based on the number of burdens that were raised, that were submitted, we categorized them into three main areas. And so you can see that these three areas are GTCNC, sub-region, blending and labor, and propagation. And so there are a couple other key burdens as well, but we feel that it would be good from a NorCal point of view to focus on these three areas. If you try to focus on too many things, we ended up not be able to make too much progress. And as you get into it, you can see that each area is actually pretty big as well. There's a lot of considerations. There are different aspects, of that category. So I would quickly go through it once, and then invite some brothers to come back and deep dive into each of these burdens. So the first one, as the name indicates, it's a kind of a spin-off of GTCA. I see Brother Tony is here, so he participates. I think the focus of this burden is really to identify some strategic localities and campuses to strengthen. In the past couple of years, we have some localities, new localities, as well as campus teams. We just feel that we need to identify them to continue to strengthen these localities. And the strengthening may come from migration. The strengthening may come from strengthening the leadership in those localities, and also raising up new lampstands, for example, Oakland. The next category is sub-region blending and labor. There's much feelings, you know, on the part of the brothers in blending the body together and blending the churches together. So we feel that it would be best to do that, not just at a NorCal level, but probably most efficiently done in the sub-region, blending the churches to strengthen the churches to carry out the God-ordained way church life. And the third area is really propagation, and propagation not only in a, you know, by a particular church or by a particular region, but across NorCal, there are certain areas that maybe are areas that we could all learn from each other. For example, preaching the gospel online through social media, establishing outward-facing meetings, and so forth. And also within the church life, the increase should not just come from outside, but also inside as well. Preaching the gospel through families with the young people and children's work. And thirdly, laboring to gain more typical Americans. So these are the three areas. There are a couple other areas which is worth mentioning. Besides these three major areas, one, we continue to be very burdened about NCCCC, and later on there will be a presentation on that alone. But this is already a area where some designated brothers are laboring in that. We welcome, of course, more brothers to participate and help, but it is an established area. And another area is raising up younger brothers. And that really is, needs to be done by locality, bringing in more younger brothers in their late 30s and 40s into not only the burdens, you know, in the in their own locality and in their own labor of the area of labor, but also bring them into NorCal-wide burdens. Developing their capacities for these serving ones, and also cultivating and utilizing the young working saints and FTTA grads so that there would be an army for the Lord's move. But the last one is a burden that we have in terms of developing some NorCal prayer burdens, just like there's a prayer list for many other labor area, other areas of the Lord's move, for example, the Lord's move to Europe, GTCA, and so on. We feel that it would be good to come up with a set of prayer burdens. For example, many of you remember that a few years ago, we have a prayer card, right, where each day we'll be praying for certain specific areas. So we feel that with this, these moves of the Lord, it needs to be borne by and covered by the prayer of the saints and the churches. And it would be good for us to publish and update a set of prayer burdens so that the churches and the saints would know, will get some updates and some guidance and know how to pray in each locality. So we would like to get a group of brothers to work on that. But our main focus this afternoon is really on the first three. And so now I'd like to invite some brothers to maybe share more of the detailed burdens in each area. How about Brother Terry? Can you begin in particular with GTCNC?
Yeah, GTCNC. So I was really stirred up by that portion we read because this whole plan here is, I think this is something new for us here in NorCal. is to all be laboring on one plan, NorCal wide. Not just, you know, we need plans in each locality. We need to labor there, but we also need, you know, to have a view that we're all laboring. That was so inspiring by that part from Brother Lee. He had one plan for the whole island of Taiwan, right? Mm-hmm. And this, and then all the saints and all the churches were in one accord to carry it out. So that's marvelous. The first point here, GTCNC, is, you know, NorCal wide. The second one is, you know, sub-region. It's a NorCal wide burden, but carried out by sub-region. And then the third one, propagation, is also NorCal wide. So this first one, identify strategic localities and campuses to strengthen. You know, we've had in the past years, we've had GTCA cities, Rohnert Park, Reno, Morgan Hill, I think Vallejo, Stockton. But it's sort of been like after GTCA is over, they're on their own. You know what I mean? And we haven't continued to bear those localities, you know, corporately and pool the resources, you know, and the manpower. We did pool, in a sense, some of the finances to purchase property in Reno, in Rohnert Park. I don't know the other places, Stockton. But we need, these places need a lot of strengthening, you know, and one of the main strengthenings they need is migration of who? Well, anybody, but especially young working saints. And I always go back to this book here, The Age of the One New Man, Brother Lee, in Taiwan in 77, I think it was. Anyway, he gave a message to the working saints, and he charged them to go in five ways, right? The first one is to raise up young working saints to continue the eldership. And we've been working on that in NorCal. But the second one was going to smaller and weaker churches to strengthen the testimony. He said, there's a need for the younger generation to be led by the Lord to go to the smaller and weaker churches in order to bear the responsibility and strengthen the testimony. So, you know, they talk about digging the canal out of Southern California to the heartland. Or we also need to dig a canal sometimes out of the larger churches to some of the outlying areas. Anyway, then some of the areas also need strengthening of the leadership. Some of these new areas, you know, maybe are struggling, you know, in the matter of leadership. So rather than just let them struggle, shouldn't that be a burden that we carry NorCal wide? Let's some brothers labor on this and consider the need and how to strengthen the leadership where it's needed. And then the last point there is raise up new lampstands. Right now there's the burden for Oakland. Oakland is the eighth largest city in California, and of the top, I think 30 or something, you know, at least top 25 cities in all of California, that's the only one without a church. So there's definitely a burden there. That will be something that's carried out by the sub-region, has begun with a burden, the churches in the East Bay. But it's not, should not be just the East Bay. That's a huge one, Oakland. And we should pool our resources from all the churches in NorCal to raise up a strong lampstand in Oakland. So anyway, my main burden there is, you know, working NorCal wide with all our resources to target specific places and campuses that need strengthening, teams that need strengthening, and pool our resources together to do that.
Amen. Amen. How about we move on to the sub-region blending? Any brothers, maybe Brother David Chui, want to get that started? I know Brother David has a lot of
burden. I think Brian also, right?
Yeah, Brian, I'd like to defer to Brian first.
Okay, Brian.
Okay, yeah. It's a matter of the sub-region blending and labor. I think, you know, if we talk about the whole Northern California, it's quite big. There are a lot of people and a lot of churches. And so we need to kind of limit our scope of labor. Brother Manoro talked about actually a lot of practical work can be done in the sub-region. And so I think we need to pay attention to how to build up a sub-region. So the sub-region blending and the sub-region labor. Mm-hmm. So here there are 4 points. The 4 points build up the blending of the leading ones. So we should have kind of regular time for the leading brothers to come together in every region, whether it's once a month or every other week, or even better, maybe every week. We need to, in order to blend the churches, we need to blend the leading brothers first.
Right.
And then the second matter is to encourage the younger saints to attend the meetings of smaller localities. Smaller localities will need help. So if we can encourage, I don't know why younger, but younger, older, it doesn't matter. Just encourage some saints from some larger churches to help and strengthen the meetings of the smaller localities. And then the third one is the sub-regional outreach for propagation. It will be very good if every region, the churches in every region will come together based on the blending of the leading ones to preach the gospel together, to coordinate. So in that way, the saints can blend, the brothers, even some younger brothers can be brought into the coordination, and all the churches can be blended together. And then Amen. The last point is to strengthen all the churches to carry out the God-ordained way church life and have substantial increase.
Sounds like it has internet issue.
Go on.
Yeah, it looks like it's frozen.
Newly, for example, 15%.
Oh, it's back.
So for all the churches to really practice every.
Oops.
Maybe I can share something first.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm done. Sorry. My Wi-Fi just crashed. No, I'm done. Go ahead.
I don't know if we have read it together as a group here, but I know the South Bay brothers have read it, and then the East Bay brothers also have read it. It's about Brother Lee has a burden that regions, churches nearby can also learn to be blended together, to the point that he said that we can blend our prayer meeting together, we can blend our Lord's Day mornings meeting together, and even the coordination and fellowship together. The only time that we will be separated will be when we have the home meetings and the group meetings. Why did Brother Lee say that? Mainly it's because he saw at that time the benefit of the blending. The blending, on one hand, is a strengthening of one another, and also is also learning to deny ourselves and learning to care for one another, and also to enjoy the riches from one another. This isn't something that I think in the coming days we can also work on it. Especially, I have a burden that we need to care for the smaller churches. It's wonderful that there are many lampstands, 35, 37 of them here in Northern California, but some churches are very small, and to the point that sometimes we may think that it's not easily sustainable. As we all know that the church, when we have the lampstand, not only we want to have a wonderful, intimate, good and warm and fuzzy church life, but also it is for his increase, for his shining forth, for his testimony. So it is important that we can bank on one another's help and support so the church can go on and in a robust way instead of in a maintenance mode. So that's another burden behind this matter of the sub-regional blending and laboring together.
Amen. And I just feel that it's the Lord's sovereignty and provision that in the middle of COVID, right, we could blend with so many distant localities that we couldn't possibly have even imagined, you know, a year ago. And we've really enjoyed the blending, for example, in the North Bay here with some of the further north localities like Eureka and Crescent City, both in our meetings as well as young people. It's just been wonderful. Yeah. In this interest of time, let's move on to the number three on propagation. Why don't I invite Andrew Chu to share on that?
Well, brothers, I am very burdened on this matter of the propagation. I just feel that it's about time that we put this matter of the gospel, the propagation, front and center of our church life. With all these burdens, all these matters that we want to carry out, it's a matter of manpower, right? If we don't have people, we're not able to carry anything out. Even this message we just read, Brother Lee's whole burden about gospelized, truthized, and churchized Taiwan and all over the world, it requires manpower. If we are not able to continue to bring in people and able to train them, this word can never be fulfilled. So this matter of the propagation of the gospel are utterly important to us at the current situation. Using Brother Lee's own word, he said, this matter is desperate. We need to feel desperate that we need to find ways to be able to bring people into the church life regularly and consistently. Just by looking at our situation, I think besides the gospel, besides the campus work, we don't have other ways. We have not developed other ways that we're able to bring people, right, month after month, year after year. We need to find some ways to be able to bring people from the communities, right, through different means that that we can have the increase, then we're able to have the manpower. And one way is that we have to develop some kind of online presence. Right now, we don't have much of online presence. But the example I gave is that if I'm a new parent moving to Northern California, I'm looking for a church to attend. I might not be, there's nothing attractive to me if I look at all the churches' website, because there's not enough information to tell me that these churches or the activities that we have can help my children, right? Or I can send them that they can learn something, whether these are lessons or quote-unquote Sunday schools. So we need to have some kind of presence that people can find us. And today's consumer behavior has changed. In the old days, when people were looking for a church, maybe they will go to our meeting hall, they will meet with us a few times. But nowadays, people will look at reviews. Maybe they will Yelp us, and they will Yelp some church and read other people's review before they decide to attend some kind of meetings. But in that kind of ways, our presence online is very little, right? We need to figure out ways through the new media that we're able to gain people. I'd like to read a few sentences I read to some of the brothers. This is in 1984 when Brother Lee was talking about the publication service, publication work. He said, after the apostles, many preachers came forth to do the work of preaching. About 500 years ago, the Protestants used a newly invented printing press as a tool for the spreading of the truth far and wide. Many worldly cultures quickly adopted the printing press for their purposes, especially through the development of newspapers. This is still true today, not only with printed materials, but also with radio broadcasts, television, and videos. These items are so-called media. So media is a system of different means of communication used for dissemination of information. Now skip to the end. The basic principle for carrying out God's work lies in speaking and announcing the word. So Burley said we need to, through all kinds of medias, that we need to announce the words. So we need to figure out some ways, whether these are through YouTube, through TikTok or something. You know, I'm always amazed when my kids bring these silly videos and there were 30, 40 million views. And there are 30, 40 million people around the world. They're looking at this little clip. Right? These are, of course, silly clips. But why can we do something? Now we can reach out to 30, 40 million people through just a little video. We need to find, we need to figure out some ways. We need to develop these tools. So through these medias, we can teach people the truth, right? We can preach the gospel. And also right now, the parents are very open. Recently, we started to have a weekly time with the sixth graders. And just through contacting the parents, we were able to get in contact with two dormant families and also able to reach out three gospel families. So through children is really good means to, at this time, right, to contact people and preach the gospel. Of course, we need to labor on the typical Americans, but that required us to focus on them, to figure out some ways, not just the typical Americans, the African Americans, the Hispanics, right, even the Indians, all kinds of nationalities that we need. We're here for the testimony of one new man. Last Wednesday, during our prayer time, Brother Scott Finney joined us. They started this gospel for the nations. But he was telling us that they were able to, through that kind of gospel speaking, they had, I believe, 28 African-Americans sign up, right, for the Bible studies. So they had a focus work. They're trying to reach out to African-American. We need to focus on people, right, on certain group of people. Even for the Chinese-speaking saints. Sometimes we think that, oh, Chinese-speaking saints, it's so easy for them to preach the gospel. No, they had to focus on the scholars, right, on the mainland scholars. They did all kinds of things, the gospel forum. They had a focused work, so they were successful. They were able to gain some, gain many, right, these mainline scholars. So it depends on how we focus on this matter of gospel. I just feel that we need to focus on this matter of the propagation so the Lord can gain some, right? The Lord can gain all tribes, nations, and tongues. When we were in Burlington, right, we were able to gain some Hispanics because we focus on gaining these people. We put the resources out, and the brothers were all one, and we were able to gain a few families. And we should really focus. This should be the front and center of our church life. If we do not gain people, our average age is getting higher and higher. If you look at our church life today, our average age is getting higher and higher. The older we get, harder for us to gain the young people and the new ones. Even our own children, they might not even want to stay in the church life because we're just all the older people, right, in the church life. This is a desperate situation. We need to labor on it. We need to focus on it, and we need to work on it.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So we hope that you brothers have a taste, and you know, I'm sure if we have more time, many more brothers can share about these burdens as well. I feel that we, by the Lord's blending us together, we do have a kind of a one accord behind these burdens. And we hope all of the brothers here would be able to indicate some, your burden, you know, in some of these areas. You know, I think Andrew is preparing a spreadsheet, and he will send that out through the distribution, and then we can have you brothers indicate, you know, areas of burden, you know. So in this list, you know, you can see Andrew has already pre-populated some of the brothers who have indicated their burden, you know, and you can note, you know, burden one, burden two, out of the three areas, you know, indicate your areas of burden. And we could have some follow up and group the brothers together and fellowship in more detail how to carry them out. So with that, let me hand it back over to David.
It's the same spreadsheet that Terry sent out, just a separate tab.
Yeah, separate tab, yeah.
So it's in the spreadsheet that Terry sent out. So can we ask the brothers to consider these before the end of this weekend? So we could start making phone calls or contacting you for fellowship if and when we are ready.
Amen.
Yeah, amen. We'd like to have more brothers involved, chime in, put your shoulders in, and so forth.
Amen.
For the next 15 minutes, I'd like to have Brother William first, and then Brother TC, and then Brother David C., and hopefully we still have a little time for others to chime in a little bit to give you an update on the NCCCC. Brothers, if possible, let us keep it brief, to the point. Amen.
So I'll start first. For the permitting process, we have essentially got the city to approve the permit. The permit was with two parts. Both parts approved, but not all the paperwork has been laid out and completed yet. So the next phase we have is contracting to get the contractors on board. I think someone asked me to speak on the cost of construction costs, not in the exact numbers, but why it is costing a little bit more or a bit more than we have expected. The blending center is purchased for a specific purpose for all the 30 churches to be able to use this to first accommodate current events that we have before the pandemic, other than the Labor Day conference. So we need to have the interior to lay out differently. We cannot use the interior as is. This is one aspect. That's what we need to do. The second aspect that we need to do is that this whole property was used differently before, which is different from what we intend to do as assembly, which is which will force us to comply to all the requirements from the building code and from the zoning ordinances. That was not a small matter. So even with the conditional use permit as to whether we can use this property, it took us 1 year to pass this phase. Then the third one is we need to provide the building that will be welcoming, that will be warm, that will be inviting, that will be pleased to look at. So that will also change the current building somewhat, at least in the entry plaza, the entrances, and the lobby area. So all these requirements that's on our heart to really cause this building to be useful to us as what we intended to use had caused the renovation cost to be high. So that is not what we wished to, but we needed to. Meanwhile, I think all the ones laboring on this project has done a lot of we call cost-saving exercise, including re-engineering of the parts and also look at different ways of doing things, what we call as a whole called value engineering. So we have done a lot and we will continue to do so. So this will conclude my my part. So next one will be, I don't know, either TC or David C, you can continue.
Yeah, brother, I'm TC. Just quickly, a few brothers faithfully and diligently serve for this conference center. I personally strong feel this conference center is a testimony that really we are one church. Then we are one with the Lord, but also we are one with his work. And also we are one with the ministry and we are one with another. So this one, okay, this oneness, one accord is pretty much the guiding principle for the brother we serve the project. So I believe Lord is a faithful one and he started work 2 years ago and I believe he will complete the work in a timely manner. If brother, we are keep ourselves in one accord, in oneness. So this is really the key is not only get the project done, we will be done in the living testimony of one accord. So brother, I do ask you to pray for the serving brothers to be in one accord, but also pray for yourself and pray for your local churches to be one with the Lord's work regarding this conference center. I think the cost can be higher than we anticipate, but I think we are in one accord. We will expect Lord's commanding blessing in this matter. So I think for the next 9 months, it will be a construction work and pray for all the serving brother, okay? We are very much conscious. We are very much cost conscious, but also we will not sacrifice our missions. That is our facing, but also warm feeling. So I'm sure when this project is done, you starting to use the center, you would like to come back again. So I think this is our goal, is a warm feeling and also our facing. So praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen, brother. I will share regarding the matter of the offering, but we don't want to touch that as business usual. How much we need, $2 million divided by 2,000 or everyone share $1,000. I want to share based on the story of Mary broken the alabaster flax, pour it all out on the head of the Lord. This story, all of us know that, but I want to touch a few particular points. And I don't know, most of you probably also know that this story was recorded in the Bible in three gospel books. as we know the principle, anything recorded more than once, it's very important. It's been recorded three times, so it's very important. Then the first point, the Lord said that she has done a noble deed on me. You know, she offered the alabaster. You know, it's about 1 pound ointment. It's kind of expensive, but it's not, you know, the only one. Because after another 2 days on the days of resurrection, some woman, you know, and also Nicodemus, they brought 100 pounds of ointment. But why here, only here, the Lord said, she has done a noble deed on me. The verses showed us that the Lord said, she has done all she could. She did not just do that out of duty. You know, when we talk about finance, a lot of times we do that out of duty. We say, okay, how much we need? Then we will, you know, divide that, how many people and how many churches. You know, take care of that as a business matter, just to meet a need. But if that's the case, you know, there's nothing much before the Lord. But she did it as a love offering, you know, and she poured out all what she had. That love offering manifests her love for the Lord. She loved the Lord with all her heart, with all her strength. And that's why she did all she could. And the Lord, you know, called that a noble deed on him. So I think we need each one go to the Lord and to pray and to bring this burden to him. So that in that divine fellowship, we can touch the Lord and our heart can be touched by the Lord. Then we can decide how we want to do it. What do we want to do it based on what? Based on our love for the Lord. And do that as a love offering, not just as a duty to meet a financial need. The second point I want to say that, you know, yes, he did that. But another reason is that he did it at the right time. The Lord said, for the poor you always have with you, but you do not always have me. Mary did that right before the Lord's burial. And he said that was a deed for his burial. So now we have NCCC here. This is not a routine. Common matter. It's not like our offering to pay the utility bill, you know, for the rent or monthly for the meeting hall. But this is the first major project in Northern California. And likely we will not have another one for another 20, 30 years. So this is once in a lifetime for many of us. We need to treat it as one and grab this opportunity to offer our love offering to the Lord. The third point, the Lord said, the house was filled with fragrance. The love offering of some will have an effect on the whole church. In Song of Songs says, draw me, Lord, we will run after you. Brother Niwan said that to be a leading one, you must take the lead in love and in consecration to the Lord. If we cannot pour out everything we have, everything we can never set up fires, nor expect others to follow us. And then the last point relates to the story. The Lord said, wherever the gospel is being preached, proclaimed, this also shall be told as a memorial of her. This was also mentioned twice in the Bible. This indicates that the significance of this story should be part of the gospel. Many of us know that the gospel is Jesus loved me and he gave his life for me. But how about the other half? The believer loved Jesus and do all they could. Without a response of a burning love, there can never be a couple. You know, this is the ultimate goal of the divine gospel, to have a universal couple. And that is based on us to have a response out of our burning love for the Lord. They relate to the building. It's an outward building, but the outward is to cooperate with the inward. The inward need to match the outward. The NCCC building is an outward move of the Lord and the outward building in NorCal. In the past 2 to 3 years, some of us brothers we serve on this construction matter, we see that the Lord has led us through many steps, over many difficulties in finding the property, purchasing the building, got the condition use permit, complete a remodel design, and finally, we're getting a building permit and we are ready to start construction.
Amen.
But how about our inward condition? Are we ready to take the next step in the building of the local churches, the blending of the leading brothers and the churches, obtaining the intrinsic reality as the body of Christ? At this time, I deeply think we need to have a renewed consecration for the Lord to prepare us inwardly and to build us intrinsically. The material offering is a thermometer of our inward love toward the Lord. Even though our goal is $2 million, I hope we can exceed that, even double that. That will be an indication of our inward readiness of a burning heart for a real revival in NorCal. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I think because of the time, I would like to wrap up here, and then I'll yield to Brother Minoru. At this point, I would just want to testify one thing to you all, is that the board has come together for 2 years and 2 months. And after 26 times of meeting together, I can testify, and I'm sure that the board members also can testify, that there's a true harmony among the brothers. Yeah. And it's a genuine one accord among the brothers. And we are things eye to eye in many aspects. Amen. So thank the Lord for blending us together. It is He who can do it.
Amen.
And, we surely have a team of brothers among the board members to oversee all areas. And then we also have a group of brothers from the board to oversee the finance. And we also have a group of brothers, those three especially that you just heard from, overseeing the construction aspect of the project. I think especially without the last three brothers, this project would not be at this stage at this time. And I truly believe that the Lord will continue to bless this coordination and let us finish, pray for the last milestone. That is the completion of this building.
Amen.
I'd like to leave you with two things. One is that the video regarding the NCCC update is available online, norcalchurches.org. And it would really be good if you can play locally, and then the leading brothers can respond or add or strengthen the burden. Each locality, I would also suggest that, if you will, consider among yourselves how much the church can give to this project. That's number one. And then secondly is that how much you would like to give the saints a target, a goal to contribute, whether it's 50,000, 100,000, or whatever, set a goal for the saints to pray for so they can shoot for. And I believe this is a very healthy, very practical to do it that way.
Amen.
And finally, Before I sign off, I'd like to remind you again that what Brother Alex and other brothers share about the 2021 plan, please go back and look at that spreadsheet and consider before the Lord which area you can join in. We need all the brothers that we could get to coordinate together for the Lord's advance in this area.
Amen.
Brother Minoru?
I don't know, where are you in your proceedings? Is everyone tired or fatigued? I don't want to take too much of your time.
That's fine.
We're ready.
We're expecting to go to 6 o'clock.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I will not go beyond 6 o'clock for sure. Well, I just caught Brother David C's some fellowship there, and also, of course, David Chui. And what David C mentioned concerning the story of the woman who broke the alabaster box is a very, very moving, of course, story. And it never gets old. And without that kind of consecration as a basis, I would say there would be nothing. There would absolutely be nothing in the church life, in the recovery, in so many projects and works that we are engaged in. So I hope that we would take the brothers' fellowship to heart. I'm also very, very thankful to the Lord again concerning about this project. I was involved in it in the start, well, in years ago, when we even consider such a possibility. But then, you know, afterwards, I sort of disappeared, and really mostly the brothers, where you are, really picked up this burden and ran with it. I cannot cease to be amazed and very, very inspired when I see not only the progress of the project, but how these group of brothers are committed to it, to the project, and how they sought the Lord, how they took care of the matter, not only in a most practical and wise way, but also in a very spiritual way, from the seeking of the finding of the property to all the purchase and acquisition, which are not simple, and then to the financing, the leasing, and of course, the obtaining of this conditional use permit, and then now various other building permits to allow us to renovate, and all done within a few short years, and their kind of givenness and coordination is very, very inspiring to me. And I believe that itself may be the one of the reasons why we're seeing the Lord's blessing so much already. I think we need to continue to pray for them. The other side, of course, is in the response of the saints. In Exodus, when Moses received the pattern of the tabernacle on the mountain and proceeded to prepare materials and find workmen to build that tabernacle. He made this call, right, for materials, all of which were brought out from Egypt, from the world, and also for bodies of people that would give themselves to the actual building work of the tabernacle. And the offering was so abundant and the spirit was so willing that the giving, the offering, went over and above what was needed, so much so that they have to stop. They have to tell them to stop the giving. Mm-hmm. That always inspired me that it's not barely making it, but when the Lord's, God's people were one and they are under God's deputy authority of his leadership on the earth, and then who had the vision of the building, the blueprint of the building, and when the people, instead of questioning or debating or opining, they just would be one with that leading, that leadership, that's in that case Moses, and then would also pour out from their material possessions for that building, and then also some even to step up to be the actual workmen in that building. That kind of a consecration and that kind of a oneness, it was, you just know this, that project will not only be done, but it will be done in a glorious way. Of course, eventually that is the tent of meeting, the tabernacle of the testimony, the God's dwelling place on the earth at that time, his oracle, and where he spoke to his people. So I think this blending center in Northern California, in a way, is something like that. What I witnessed here from a distance was the both the coming forth of the workers, you know, now this, these brothers, and I believe there are others cooperating, and then the saints' prayer. I believe many saints prayed a lot in these months, and then, of course, needless to say, the consecration of material, of money, towards this project. I think all that, not only is are these free will offerings, these are not required, these are free will offering, and it is particularly pleasing to the Lord because it's free will. And I also believe that there will be an overabundance from the saints' giving at the end of the day. And all this, a lot of this taking place in this, right now, this very challenging climate of the pandemic, all the more speaks to God's grace with the churches in Northern California. So I'm actually myself very excited, very pleased, and certainly very, very touched by what the Lord has done. I firmly believe also that this facility will be heavily used and optimally used and efficiently used to facilitate the real blending of the churches and saints in Northern California, and particularly for the perfecting, the training, the edifying of the saints of different categories, age groups, different works, and you name it. And even I would say it would be used not just for NorCal. It should be a blending center of the recovery, one of the blending centers. I like to bring a whole bunch of saints from Southern California up there to that facility to shock them, right? And to bring them into blending with the saints there. I don't mean just Fremont, I mean Northern California. A lot can be done. When in Taiwan, they built the blending center in the central Taiwan. It's huge. When I first saw it, I said, do you really need something that big? Well, it turned out that it is very much used to blend the whole island of Taiwan together into one. So these physical buildings or facilities are in fact very, very useful for the things in the spiritual realm. I hope all you brothers would be as encouraged and excited about this project and continue to put this before the saints for their prayer and for their further giving. Well, today with little time, I really don't have, I would not be giving any message as such, but just a thought that occurred to me just some moments ago when I was thinking about this fellowship. In these last few weeks of the beseeching.org, we have touched again the matter of calling on the Lord a few weeks back, praying with the Word, and then last week, particularly on the matter of the personal fellowship with the Lord. And of course, this week we're in singing, right? The hymns, speaking, and so on. And I can tell you what will be next, the next 4 weeks. I'll give you a preview. I know it because I helped you with this website. It will be on living and walking in the Spirit. And then even the two aspects of the infilling and the outfilling of the Spirit. And even there would be a one week on the Spirit-filled daily life, which really is the definition of an overcoming daily life. So you see, if you have been into the content of these prayer burdens, you will see a particular kind of a direction in these days, and that is to perfect the saints or help the saints in the cultivation and the building up of a more solid personal life with the Lord. Why? I'll tell you, very simple, because everything comes out of that. So this is my burden for the next 15, 20 minutes. Brothers, the more we talk about the body, the more we talk about the church, the more we talk about building up God's house, the more we talk about the church life, this and that, all of which are corporate entities, corporate things. The more we talk about that, and surely that is our vision, that is our goal, right? The building up of the Lord's body. But the more we talk that way, the more I feel we need to talk about the individual. It's a strange thing. You know why? Well, it's quite obvious. And that is, at the end, in the end, the individual saint, the individual Christian, the individual member, even the individual member. It says in Romans and also in 1 Corinthians, both in chapter 12 somewhere, chapters 12 in both books, Paul used the word, we are one body, we're the body of Christ, but we are individually members one of another. Individually. And then similar utterance in 1 Corinthians 12 about that we are individually members. Let me see here real quick. 1 Corinthians 12, yeah. So it says this, verse 27, now you are the body of Christ and members individually. Why did Paul say that? Paul was, you are the body of Christ, you know. And then he said, and members individually. So this means that you cannot talk about the body without talking about the individual members. Without the individual members, there would be no body. The body is constituted of individual members. And how the condition of these members directly affect the condition, it actually determined the condition of that corporate body. You cannot have a strong church when the saints are weak. It does not work. It's illogical. But when the individual saints themselves are strong, they are vital, they are active, they are living and so on, they are spiritual, right? Of course, there needs to be a process of coordination, fellowship being built up. Of course, there's that side. But you have the basic units there, building units there in the individual. We all come to the living stone, that is Christ, as living stones. You remember in Peter, 1 Peter chapter 2. In other words, each one of us is a piece of stone. Now, we're not for the stone being piled up. We're for the stone to be built up. But if these stones are not living, you know, they are not vital, their condition is weak and poor, there cannot be the building up of that spiritual house, the holy priesthood. So each living stone, each stone has to come to the living stone, right? For the milk of the word that's in the earlier part of that chapter. And, you know, for our salvation, et cetera, et cetera. And so I'm here making the point. Yes, we are for the body of Christ, totally, totally. But the more we say that, let's say you say, I'm for the body. Brothers, I would tell you, the more you should take care of your own life. It's not, oh, I'm for the body, so I just jump into the body. It doesn't matter how I am. I just go with the flow. I'm just going to be one in the crowd. However the body is, they'll carry me along. Wrong. Wrong concept. The more you're for the body, the more you take care of yourself as the individual member. And I don't mean that in a selfish sense, but I do mean in the sense of being responsible. How can you say, I'm for the body, I'm for the building up of the body, and your life, you have no Christian life, you have no vital life of a member of the body. Your daily life is a mess. You don't walk in the Spirit. You don't call on the Lord. You don't touch the Lord. You're not in the Word. You're not spiritual. You're in the world. You're not serving. You're not doing anything. Brothers, it's illogical. It's illogical. So I am actually these days for the body of Christ, very burdened for the individual life of every saint. I've been speaking this lately using five portions in the New Testament with this word, each one. You'll be surprised how much each is emphasized in the New Testament. Well, you say the body. Yes, the body. But for the body's sake, each one. Each one have to be normal. Each one have to be living and vital. Each one has to take care of their service to the Lord. One day, brothers, in the New Testament, the Lord said that, the apostles said that, all will be before the judgment seat of Christ to be have their whole life and their work reckoned, judged. How? In every mentioning, it says each one's work. The Lord does not judge the body of Christ or the church of God. He judged each person, each of his children. That's what we will all have to face one day. I cannot face the Lord for you. You cannot face the Lord for me. Each one will have to be before the Lord for how they built. Right? You remember 1 Corinthians 3. With what material they built with. Well, this is a very sobering, extremely sobering thought. Now, I don't have the kind of time to get into the things, but let me just mention something, okay? Just let me just use one case, just one case. And that would be John 15 on the vine, you know, the vine tree, the universal organism of the triune God. We all know that. So the Lord says in verse 1, I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. Well, that's it, right? You right here have the church, the body, the vine. Okay. We all know what God's purpose is to gain this, is to cultivate such a vine on the earth for his increase and for his expression. Okay, verse 2, right away in verse 2, not later, verse 2. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes it away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it, that it may bear more fruit. Each, brothers. Now, later on, you talk about branches in plural, you know, in a collective way, of course. But I will show you at least the first six verses. It is talking to the individual or about the individual branch, which you and I are. There's no getting away from this. Every branch. The husbandman is looking at every branch, and the vine is concerned for every branch that is a part of it, the vine. Every branch in me, brother, you, me, he, each one of us is a branch in Christ, in this vine tree. If that branch does not bear fruit, it's taken away. That one, that branch is taken away. Sobering thought. And if that branch bears fruit, that one branch bear fruit, the Lord will prune it. The Father will prune it, you know, clip it, cut it, so that it may bear more fruit. The Lord is looking for fruit for the vine tree. How? By each branch. By each branch. Each saint, each brother, each member must bear fruit, must abide in him and bear fruit. And they will be treated or handled by the husbandman accordingly. I cannot do things for you. You cannot do things for me. I have to bear fruit. And I may be taken away, or I may be pruned. It depends on how I do. But brothers, each one. I hope this will remove all the excuses, brothers. Every one of us. Actually, every saint. And it says, you are already clean because of the word. Well, okay, verse 4. Abide in me and I in you as the branch. The branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me, the branch. I am the vine, you are the branches. He, yes, we are all branches, but he who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Do you see this? The Lord is going after the he. How about this branch? How about this branch? How about you? How about me? If one does not abide in me, one, he's talking about one, he is cast out as a branch and is dried up. And they gather him and cast him into the fire. But he is cast out. Now, there's a lot of, you all know there's a lot of meaning here, right? To be cast out doesn't mean you lose your salvation. It means you lose the enjoyment of this vine and the supply of this vine and so on. Okay. But my burden, brothers, is this. We all need to pay attention to our own life with the Lord. We must build up, brothers, our life with the Lord. In Song of Songs, it says, draw me, we will run after you. It starts with me. You know, we need companions. We are just one in amongst the daughters of Jerusalem. But how this thing works is draw me. Me. There's got to be one. Brother Lee say the vital group starts with a group of one. Actually, one is not a group, but that's what he said. Start with one. That one is desperate for the increase of the recovery. And that one will be vital. He will deal with the Lord. He will confess his sins. He will, you know, become vital. Then this one and another one would join together to become the what we call the twos and threes, right? The vital members or companions to what? To carry out the burden of gaining the increase. Prayer, right? In contacting people, in shepherding, whatever. But it starts with one. Brothers, vitality of a local church start with one saint. One saint. If in your locality there's one saint that is vital, that's the beginning. How about if they're 10? How about if they're 20? How about if there are 50? When each saint is normal, living, active, consecrated, in the word, prays, deals with the Lord, serves. I tell you, that's the beginning of the church's revival. Revival is not top down. Some spirit comes down and we all got revived. No. Revival starts with one and two and three and four. So these days, I have a strong burden. The more we talk about the body, the more I'm burdened for that personal, private, intimate, affectionate, spiritual relationship that we all have to have with the Lord. The more prevailing that relationship is, I tell you, the more the body will be built. You will become what the Instagram call an influencer. You know what I'm saying? You become the influencer by virtue of you being alive. Well, I have a number of other portions. I'll just give it to you. I won't get into it. In Matthew 25, those three slaves, okay? One got one talent, one got two, one got five. Each one received a gift. I didn't receive your gift. You didn't receive my gift. You got yours. I got mine. And the Lord is not going to, the master, when he comes back, he's not going to judge me according to someone else's gift. But my gift, whether it's one, two, five, that's secondary. But what he has given to me, this each one, the Lord is going to come and reckon. And he wants a return. He wants to have, right, a multiplication. Brothers, here it, in Romans 15 talks about the fruit. There in Matthew 25, it talks about the exercising of our gift, God-given gift, to invest it. Brothers, today, if you invest your talent, I invest my talent, you serve, I serve, I tell you, that's revival. That's revival. But I don't invest, you don't invest. In the meeting, you don't speak, I don't speak. And you don't shepherd the saints, I don't shepherd the saints. I don't preach the gospel, you don't. I tell you, there's nothing. So this is not about a movement. Revival is not about a movement. It's about each member, each one. Talking about gift, the next passage is Romans 12. Each one has received a gift. Let him use it. Each one. See, each one there. Well, there are others. Even in 1 Corinthians 14, each one has. When you come together, each one has a teaching, a revelation, a psalm, and so on. Each one, brothers. Oh, I hope, brothers, with a simple word like this, we ourselves would really, really, oh, be so charged by the Lord to really be faithful as an individual in the body, in the church. To live in a way that is to the Lord, to have such a strong relationship with Him, and that is a life of fellowship with Him, to serve the Lord. Even no one else serve. You serve. You serve. And see what will happen. You invest your talent. See what happens. And 1 Peter talk about we are steward of the multiplied grace, the grace of God. There it says each one, again, another passage. Each one minister to the other the grace. One day we will be judged our life and work individually. And there will be reward, and there will be, loss. Reward and loss, individually. And I'll tell you, brothers, since I came to the church life, I was not just motivated by the Lord's love and, you know, the Lord's life to serve, to live and walk this way. This overcoming life, this life with the Lord, and this service in the church. And no, not just that. I tell you, as Brother Nee, in one of the first hymns he ever wrote, he say, I walk under the light of the judgment seat of Christ. I tell you, I have lived under that judgment seat. One day when the Lord comes, he's going to check. How am I going to face him? I don't want to suffer a loss. I want to receive a reward from my master. But then it translates into today, brothers, huh? So even in our care for the church and the saints, brothers, don't just do something general. Oh, general, you just give a message, something. Help the saints individually, each one, one by one. Build up their personal life with the Lord, their fellowship with the Lord, their personal service to the Lord, according to the Lord's personal calling. So, 6 o'clock. I'm over by 1 minute, brothers. That's just some spontaneous burden I have. I hope that helps. Amen.
Amen. It's really so true. The Lord needs the corporate life as well as the personal life. And thank you for the word of encouragement.
Amen.
To have the fellowship life, personal fellowship life, personal serving life.
Amen.
Amen. Even if nobody else is serving, we are still serving the Lord. Amen.
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 Under the light of his judgment seat.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
Right. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Right, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you,
Lord. Right.
So, man. Brother Minoru, we are going to see you again next Monday, 7 p.m.
Yeah.
Amen.
I may say more about this.
Good.
Good. Wonderful.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Excellent.
If there are, my goodness, if there are in Bay Area, there are 500 saints that are like this. I tell you, Bay Area will take off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, the enemy's work, Satan, is to kill the members. And I know their function. I kill their spiritual life. Mm-hmm. And in their stead, he introduced this hierarchy and clerical people. And, mm-hmm. and the members are all killed and annulled their function. There's no body. You know right. why? Because it takes each, now here's another passage, sorry, each, what is that? Ephesians 4.
Each one part.
Each one part.
Operation in the measure of each one part.
Right. Of each one part. It is when every joint of supply and every part operates, uses a gift and function, that the body builds itself up in love.
Amen.
Amen.
How does the body build itself in love? The body, how do you build itself up? It's by every member, each doing, it's operating according to the gift. Operation means you put your gift to use. All right? That's why it says fan into flame, the gift of God that is in you, Timothy. Forget about the others. You just you. And just one Timothy standing there in Ephesus. So we need to even build up our church like this. You may not see all the saints, but if you have a good number of saints that really have a life with the Lord, you just know it. You just know it. They are revived people. They're spiritual. They in the spirit, they pray, they function, they no matter what. I tell you, you know, these ones together build up the body. Okay, amen, brothers.
Amen.
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 Amen. Thank you, brother.
Amen.
Thank you.
Can I go?
Yes, you can go. Amen.
I think we can all end here too, right?
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
Just okay, remind, thank you, brothers.
I just remind the brothers to go to that spreadsheet that I send out with the attendance thing, but there's another tab on there where you can put in, you can indicate your burdens regarding these points we shared for NorCal plan. Okay.
Yeah.
I hope all the brothers would do that.
Amen.
Very amen.
Good. And don't forget Monday at 7 p.m.
Amen.
Right. We'll send out an email about it.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Praise amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord, brother.
Hallelujah. Amen.
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 Amen.